We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected. Hello, and welcome to St. Columba's Deira Volghi here in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. My name is James, and I'm the minister here. If this is your first time in joining us, you're really, really welcome. If this is something that you have been doing over the last number of weeks, welcome again. And if you're a part of the community of faith here in Deira Volghi, a big welcome to you as well. One of the things that we do regularly here is that we begin our act of worship by reading the scriptures over us. It's very, very powerful to hear God's word released over a congregation. Today, we're using Psalm 8, which is the one which is appointed for today. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honour. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Father God, we want to thank you this morning that you are indeed majestic, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we hold that thought in our heads, in our hearts, as we come to worship today. Lord, we know that worship is not just what we do on a Sunday, but worship is all of our lives. And so we thank you that you are Lord over all, as the psalmist has just told us. Be Lord over everything that we do in this moment too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we begin our service today, I'm going to use some words from Morning Prayer 1, actually. It's an ancient liturgy written a long time ago. And while some of the words may seem a little clunky in the language that we use today, the meaning of them is immeasurable. Especially as we begin a new series of the scriptures today, which we'll speak about a little later. And one of the important things that we do as we gather is that we confess before God. We state why we're here and we confess before God and the things that we need to. So dearly beloved, the scripture moves us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with a humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain the forgiveness of the same, by his infinite goodness and mercy. And though we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sin before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together, to render thanks for the great benefits that he has received at his hand, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart, a humble voice, unto the throne of the heavenly grace. Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises, declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. So may Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather he may turn from his wickedness and live, and have given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of sin. He pardoneth and resolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance, and by his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that the last may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we pray together, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Often, whenever we think about securing something, we can think about it in different ways, actually. If we want to be secure online, we want to have an antivirus, we want to ensure that our passwords are safe and secure. If we want to secure our homes, we get good locks on our doors. There was at one stage where I had a 306D turbo. That's a type of car. Now, in my day, that was the car. It was an amazing car. And there's a whole big story behind it, which someday I'll tell you about. But a 306D turbo. So to secure this car so nobody would steal it whenever I parked it in the big smoke or parked it anywhere else, I bought this. Look at it. A big chain. And I had a stinking great big padlock on it. And I padlocked it from in below the seat all the way through the steering wheel and padlocked it together every time I left it so nobody could come or find it harder to come and to steal my car. Chains are amazingly strong things. They hold ships to the quay, massive cruise ships to the quay whenever they come to dock. They secure gates. They hold swings in a park. We see them in our everyday lives. We know that they are something that is strong and secure. We're beginning a new thinking, our new series here over the next few weeks in Deira Volghi, and it's all about securing hope. Because actually we can't secure hope through chains or through padlocks or through locks. We secure hope in a different way. We secure hope in the strength that we receive because we walk with Jesus. We secure hope because of the strength that we have when we walk with Jesus. And hope is something that we all need, every single one of us. So I wonder, next time you see a chain on a gate or you see a chain in the play park, whenever you're allowed back into them, on the swings, think about securing hope in Jesus. Are you walking with him? And is he the one who brings you the strength that you need for this moment? So we're going to hear our reading read to us now.
This morning's reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and then continuing in 1 Peter chapter 5, reading verses 12 to 14. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And then continuing the reading in chapter 5, reading verses 12 to 14. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
So we begin this new series in the book of 1 Peter. So it will take us all the way through the summer. So for June, July and August, really, this is what the book that we're going to be looking at, taking a little chunk of it each week and seeing what it has to say for us. As I prayed and read and thought about what it was that we were going to do, the book of 1 Peter kept coming back to me. Because the book of 1 Peter is about having hope. That's why I've entitled this Securing Hope. Because in the book of Peter, we see grace and we see glory and we see moments whenever whenever Jesus, through the scriptures, says things to us and Peter recalls them. But we see this apostle Peter bringing us encouragement. This is a letter written to the church of his time, but the church for us as well, because we believe that scripture is living and active and speaks today as much as it did when it was written. And so this letter speaks into our very moment now, at a time whenever we probably need hope like never before. See, hope is something that must be grasped at all times. That's what we believe. That's what we hold on to. Hope must be grasped at all times. But even that statement alludes to the fact that it's as if we're trying to grab hold of it just with our fingertips, that we're grasping for it. If only we could hold on to a tiny little bit of hope, then we would be able to see something different in our situation and our circumstance, whatever that is. But what if we could hold on to it really tightly? What if we could have hope so tightly that it feels as if we're strangling it with a hug? A great, big, squeezable hug. What if we could hold on to hope so tightly? Well, you see, I think as we begin this series, I want to lay a few things out about the background to it. And who has written it and so forth. But actually, at the very outset, I believe that as a believer, as a Christian, as a body of believers, we have a different hope from other people. We see that in 1 Peter, chapter 1. Again, all tied up on where this reference is from. So it's 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. Or hope's not stale. Or hope's alive. And that means that it's moving, that it's organic, that it grows, that it continues, that it's not static or stagnant. It's living. And that's the key to being able to hold on to hope tightly. We have a living hope because we worship a God who is alive. Now remember, this letter to the church from 1 Peter was written by the Apostle Peter. Who was Peter? Well, Peter was once called Simon. That's whenever he was called to be a disciple of Jesus. But Jesus changed his name to Peter. And often in the Gospels, he's called Simon Peter. Peter meaning rock, because Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. But actually the church is built on Christ, the solid rock. He is the foundation. But Peter had a name change because Jesus saw something special in Peter. He destined Peter to have a new purpose. I wonder, do you yearn or crave for that today? But here's how Peter was described earlier in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now remember, Jesus has died, he has rose again, he has ascended into heaven, and the day of Pentecost has come, and the Holy Spirit is with him. And Peter has stood boldly and declared to the nation and to the people around him who had gathered what was going on. And here's what they said in verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men and were astonished. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. Peter was described as an unschooled and ordinary man. Now, not because we would say that in any way Peter was lacking intellectually, but probably described like that because in those days, if you were schooled, you went on maybe to be a Pharisee or a rabbi. Whereas Peter was a fisherman. So he's labelled as being unschooled and ordinary. But the remarkable thing was that he had been with Jesus. And that's how Peter secured his hope. He was with Jesus. See, verse 1 of this letter says this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. To God's elect, strangers in the world. What does that mean? Strangers in the world. That's the NIV translation of some other translations will render it resident aliens or sojourners. But what does that mean? It means that the early church grasped the truth that they were only passing through this world. That this world that we live in, this tangible, physical world that we can touch, hear, see, smell, and taste, was our second home. Because as a Christian, as a believer, as someone whose hope is in the solid rock of Jesus Christ, then our home is in heaven. It's an eternal home. We are not just bound by this physical world. The kingdom of heaven that is all around us is here, but not yet. There's a whole other sermon in that one, a whole series in that one. But what does it mean to be a stranger, as Peter describes it here? It means that you realize and recognize that actually, this isn't all that there is. Later on, as we'll see in a couple of weeks, in chapter 1, in verse 23, 24 and 25, he says this: For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. We are eternal beings. The writer to the Ecclesiastes says that God has sown the seed of eternity in the hearts of all people. I wonder, is that something that you have grasped? I know it's something I need to go back and re-grasp and re-look at every so often, that I am not just intended to be of this physical world. There is so, so much more. And so whenever Peter says to God's elect, strangers in the world, he's saying that we are citizens of heaven. Warren Wiersbe said this: because Christians are strangers in this world, they are considered strange in the eyes of the world. Let me say that again. Because Christians are strangers in this world, they are considered strange in the eyes of the world. What we do as Christians will not always be seen as normal by other people who are not believers in Jesus. But that's okay. That's okay. As long as we have Christ as our solid rock, with the Bible as our guide and the Spirit as the one who interprets for us. See, also it says in verse 1, strangers in the world scattered. At this stage, the church of Jesus was growing, but it was scattering through the diaspora. I didn't pronounce that correctly, but I'll get there. Out across the world. We're meeting in a scattered way today. We're scattered across this parish, across Northern Ireland, in our own homes, yet meeting with one purpose, growing in faith and seeking God's glory in our lives. See, suffering and glory run through the book of 1 Peter. And we're going to deal with both of those massive topics as we look through in the next few weeks. But you see, in chapter 5 and verse 12, says this: With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the grace of God. Stand fast in it. This is the grace of God. Stand fast in it. You see, this letter is written at a time of suffering for the church. A time of uncertainty for the church. A time of not knowing what the future holds for the church. And Peter's parting words from this letter was stand fast in faith and in grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us to do that today. To stand fast in the faith and in the grace and in the glory of Jesus Christ. Not to just grasp it with our fingertips, but to hold it tightly, to hug it, to stand on the solid rock. And if one word jumps out across the pages of this letter to the church in 1 Peter, it's grace. It's in every single chapter, actually. Grace is God's undeserved favour upon a needy sinner. Grace is God's undeserved favour upon a needy sinner. None more so than the preacher this morning. Refreshed and renewed each day, God's grace can visit you. No matter how far you think you've fallen, how far you think you've walked away, no matter how far you believe or feel that you are from God at the moment, his undeserved favour is waiting and he stands with open arms. That's what the cross of Calvary tells us. That's his finished work. That he opens the way to heaven for us. That's what gives us a new and a living hope today. This is a living hope. But this living hope does not place the Christian in a rocking chair. A living hope does not place a Christian in a rocking chair, because whenever we sit in a rocking chair, we've almost become complacent. We settle down. We become comforted. But this living hope is not just a rocking chair for us to sit and rock in and to wait for Christ's return. This living hope is the one that drives us out into the marketplace, into the battlefield, into the workplace, and into our homes, because we are presence carriers and we carry with us this living hope that can change the dynamic of the situation around us. That's what we're going to look at in the next few weeks. This living hope brings a new confidence that becomes a valuable characteristic in your life. This living hope brings a new confidence that becomes a valuable characteristic in your life. Not a puffed up confidence, but a confidence that resides and rests in Jesus Christ, because that's where our hope sits. But it all begins with salvation in him, in Jesus. If we have faith and found salvation in him, then we can have hope. And if we can have hope, then we can journey on the road of holiness, of becoming more like him. And if we can journey on the road of holiness, we can transform our home, our society, and our church. So let's secure hope as the new banner that flies over us. Let's secure hope as the new banner that flies over us. I'm hoping that you take this journey with me and with 1 Peter. Thank you. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. That you are the one who holds us tightly. And today, Lord, we want to secure hope in our lives. So give us grace and glory to draw alongside you, to see you in a fresh way, in a new way. And as we delve into this book of 1 Peter over the next few weeks, Lord, we really pray that your Spirit would guide us and inspire us. But in this moment, We need hope for the situation around us. We continue to pray for our frontline staff in whatever aspect they're looking after us and caring for us or providing services to us. We pray for those who have been isolating or shielding over the last number of weeks and who, with lockdown now shifting, are being able to come out again. And Lord, for the nervousness that there will be around that and into that, we pray for that. We want to pray for our community and for the needs of our community. For those who behind closed doors are suffering today because of a lack of food or finances. Give us hands and feet, eyes and ears to be the help that those people need, Lord. Even in this moment, would you, Lord, place an image of a face or a name on our heads that we might make contact with this week just to see if they're okay. Whether that could be your prompting. And so in this moment, we pray for our community. Pray for the street that we live on or walk on, or work on or walk our dog on. Pray for our neighbours on our left and on our right. Pray for those who need a fresh touch from you. For those who are awaiting results from a hospital or who are currently in the hospital. And today we pray for John. Pray for those who continue to be bereaved. Praying especially for the Beatty family. And Lord, we pray for decisions that we made at Stormont or Westminster around what the next steps will look like. We pray for our schools, for the teachers and the staff who continue to provide education. From distance learning, from online classrooms, or indeed from a physical space as they care and educate the children of our key workers. We also pray for those children who received letters this week of the school that they will now attend. And we pray into the joy that may be for those who received the right result and for the disappointment for those who didn't. But we know that you are present with us, Lord, in whatever circumstance or situation we are in. So we pray today, Lord, that you would inspire hope within us. Not just hope that we can grasp with our fingertips, but a hope that we can grasp securely. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being a part of us today. For being with us. If you need anything during the week, please continue to hook into our website, to our Facebook page. You can email us at info@deravolgi.com or you can telephone 0389252 8242, and we'll be there to help if we possibly can. Until next week, thank you very much.